All right, Jabo, say good morning. Let's begin. So our shir Baruch Hashem for the month of Nisan is dedicated by Paul and Kathy Pollack in memory of Saul and Floret Pollack, Sarah Bas Avram, and Shmuel Ben Zecharia, in the zechus of our learning. May their neshamas have an aliyah and the family a nechama. So let's begin. Thank you to Yehuda for giving what I'm sure was a wonderful, wonderful shir yesterday. Yehuda, thank you very much. Always gives this shir some additional food for thought. Incredible tzedel of derech as we go into the week. So we have the great zchus today to begin the fifth parak of Maseches Avodah Zarah. And we start on Samech Beis Amud Aleph, 62a. So the Mishnah says as follows. Hasocher es hapoel la'asos imo b'yayin nesach. So we're dealing now with the following case. A person hires a worker. Look at Rashi. Hasocher es hapoel. Ovid kochav shesocher es Yisrael. Lasos imo molocha b'yayin nesach. So this is an akum who's hiring a Jew to help him with his yayin nesach. Now, beforehand we spoke about a Gentile or an akum hiring a Jew to help him in the production of yayin nesach. Here is a bit different. Here Rashi points out, lasos imo molocha b'yayin nesach lahariko mikli akli, to have the Jew go ahead, let's say, and pour out the wine from one utensil to another utensil, o lahavir chavios mimakom lemakom, or to transport barrels from one place to another, ubiyayin nesech mamish kamer shenis nasech lavodas kochavim ustam yinibale. So we'll say the Mishnah's case is dealing with actual yayin nesech, actual avodah zara wine which was consecrated for the use for avodah zara. So we'll say, so what's happening over here? So an akum wants to hire a Jew to work with the yayin nesach. What's the working of the yayin nesach? He wants him to go ahead and pour it from barrels into smaller jugs, or he wants him to go ahead and move the barrels from place to place. So this has nothing to do with the production of the yayin nesach. Yayin nesach already exists, but rather, again, he's asking the Jew to get involved. He's hiring the Jew to perform some type of labor-oriented task related to the yayin nesach. So what's the halacha? If the Jew accepts the employment and earns the money, schara aser. Ultimately, again, the schar, any type of wages he receives for work to do with yayin nesach, the wages are aser. The wages are aser. So again, we'll discuss, obviously what the Mishnah is telling me is that the wages essentially have the status of the yayin nesach itself. But we'll discuss the mechanics of that in the Gemara. However, schara lasos imo molocha acheres is actually an interesting case. Let's say, however, again, the akum hires the Jew to go ahead and do some type of other malacha. Look at Rashi. Scharo laso simo malacha acheres. It's the last of the wide lines in the top of Rashi. Kol scharo mutar da'afa gav de'igro di'yoev lo mishum malachas. I'm sorry, actually, let me finish reading the Mishnah. Sachro le malachas acheres. If he hired him to do some other type of work, afa pisha amar lo ha'aver li chavishay and esri makum ma'makum. Even though, again, so we'll say this is the following case. Anakum hires a Jew, let's say, to just do work. I'm hiring, right, the Jew is a day laborer, the Akum hires the Jew as a day laborer, coming to work at my house. And so the Jew is doing a variety of different tasks. Among those things that he's asked to do, the Akum tells him, move this barrel of Yayin Nesach from here to here. So what's the halacha, Rabbosai? Schara mutter. So in that case, the wages are mutter. Why the wages mutter? Take a look at Rashi. Schara lasos mamulach acheres. Kol schara mutter. All of the wages are permitted. Da'af agav de'igr di'ayv lo mishum alach acheresi. So we'll say, ultimately, again, we'll discuss this in the Gemara, but obviously we see the distinction in between the two cases. In case number one, the Jew is explicitly being hired to dafka work with Yayin Nesach. Again, not the production of Yayin Nesach. It already exists. It is already usher. But the surah, the nature of his engagement with the Akum centers around Yayin Nesach. Therefore, the wages are usher. Masha Inkin, if he's hired just to do work, and it happens to be that some of the work is moving around Yayin Nesach, so the halacha is that the wages are permitted, even though he actively worked with Yayin Nesach. Again, we'll discuss this in the Gemara. Next, Hasochar Asachomer Lahavi Aleha Yayin Nesach Schara Aser. Let's say if I own a donkey. And the Akum hires my donkey, rents my donkey, to go ahead and transport Yayin Nesach. So he pays me $500 for the day to rent my donkey to transport Yayin Nesach. So what's the halacha? Schara aser. So we'll say that rental amount is aser. Because again, we'll discuss why, but Lamaise, again, this is comparable to the first case in the Mishnah, where I am being hired out to go ahead and work the entire day with Yayin Nesach. So in that case, again, the wages are aser. If my donkey is hired to transport Yayin Nesach, ultimately those wages, that rental amount is Asra as well. However, Sachra Leisheva Leha, but let's say again, now literally this means the Akum hired the donkey to sit on it. And I will say, now what does that mean? Meaning, see, just hired the donkey Stam, I mean, for riding purposes, transportation, right? It's transportation. So he hires, I'm sorry, an Uber, right? The Talmudic Uber. Good. I was going to say something like the other one. What's the one like in New York City where you zip? No, where you rent the car.
Zip car.
Good. Sometimes the Talmudic zip car. Right? So you go ahead, he goes and he rents the donkey in order to go ahead and literally use it. Sakra le shevala. Afa pi, this is very interesting. Shenyach ove kochavim legino aleha. Even though what? The ove kochavim put it, we'll say legino means his flask. The flask, you always have to travel with the flask. Right? So even though he goes and he puts his flask on the donkey, nevertheless, schara mutter. The rental amount is mutter. So we'll say, what does that mean? In this case over here, the Nochri is renting the donkey to ride on it. He's renting it for transportation purposes. Now it turns out that what ends up happening, he's bringing his flask or his jug of wine with him also, which let's say is Yayin Nesach, and he's putting on the donkey. So what is the donkey effectively doing? The donkey is transporting Yayin Nesach. Even the donkey is transporting Yayin Nesach, because again, that was not the nature of the rental agreement to work with Yayin Nesach. Even though again, my donkey is benefiting the transport of the Nachri's wine, the wages are still going to be permitted. I will say, see, this case is even a little bit easier, because in this case over here, we'll see this in the Gemara, but there's a rental amount. The Nachri is paying me X amount of dollars per day to go ahead and use the donkey. Whether he goes ahead and, if he puts the flask on it, the rental amount doesn't go up. If he doesn't put the flask on it, the rental amount doesn't go down. So you see again that there's a certain locked-in amount for usage of the donkey that is independent of any type of Yayin Nesach usage. So because of that, even if he ends up using it to transport the Yayin Nesach, despite that, the wages remain permitted. So it comes out essentially from the Mishnah is as follows. We have essentially two cases which to a certain degree mirror each other. The two cases by the hired laborer. If I'm hired dafka to go ahead and transfer and work with Yayin Nesach, my wages are aser. If I'm hired stam, but I end up working with Yayin Nesach, it appears that my wages are mutter. If the Akum hires my donkey to transport Yayin Nesach, so the rental amount, right, we'll call it the rental amount, is aser. But if he hired the donkey stam, and he ends up going in and transporting Yayin Nesach, although again, I want to be clear, the Mishnah's case of transporting Yayin Nesach seems to be very small-scale Yayin Nesach. He's just putting his flask there. The Mishnah doesn't go ahead and discuss a case of if he, let's say, hires my donkey stam, and it turns out that Mamish is moving barrels and barrels of product, of Yayin Nesach product, that the Mishnah doesn't discuss. We'll see that in the Gemara. But nevertheless, those wages will be mutter. Good. So we'll say, so let's analyze this. Now, understand over here that the Mishnah, just dropped a major bombshell on us, which is, so we have done a pretty exhaustive study on the laws of Yayin Nesach, as well as the laws of Stam Yena. So we've always understood that Lamaisa, it's the wine that's Asur. What the Mishnah now introduced to us is that Isur seems to extend to the wages as well. So now the Gemara says, my time is Schara Asur. Where do you get this from? So if I go ahead and Akum hires me, okay, let's deal with the first case of the Mishnah, easiest case. Akum hires me. He says, I'm hiring you to go ahead and work in my Yayin Nesach warehouse. I'm going to pay you $500 a day, and all you're going to do from morning till evening is pour and move Yayin Nesach. That's it. That's the job. So now I work there 2 days, $1,000. The Mishnah just told me all of those wages are Asr. Says the Gemara, where do we know that from? Right? Why are those wages Asr? Ilema, Hoil V'Yayin Nesach Asr Ba'na, Scharo Nami Asr. So maybe I'll say like this. Since Yayin Nesach is Asr Ba'na, therefore what? By definition, any wages you earn through work with something that is Asr Ba'na is Asr Ba'na as well. In other words, maybe what we're suggesting is that this is not unique by Yayin Nesach. Maybe this is just a general halachic construct that whenever something is Asr Ba'na, so you can't get benefit from it. So by definition, if you earn your wages through work with that item, just as the item is Asr Ba'na, the wages are Asr Ba'na. The answer is there's only one problem with that. That's not true. Hare Arla Uklaya Kerem Da Asurin Ba'na. So we'll say you have Arla. Arla, remember, is the fruit of the first 3 years. which you're not allowed to get benefit from. Klai kamel also means forbidden mixtures, right? The paradigmatic case of klai kamel will be wheat and grapes mixed together. So again, that's also going to be asr b'ana. And what's the halacha? So we'll say these are items that you cannot get benefits from. And yet, what's the halacha? Utnan machran v'kidesh b'demehen mikudashas. The other will say, what's the halacha? The halacha is, if I take my arlo, which is asr b'ana, or I take my klai kamel, which is asr b'ana, and I sell it, and then I go ahead and I use those proceeds to be mekadesh woman. Rabbi say, what's the halacha? Mikudeshes. Now, the fact that she's mikudeshes, what does that tell me? So, if you look at Rashi, mikudeshes alma isuri hana demehen mutarin. Now, Rabbi say, by the way, this is even stronger. This is even stronger because what this is saying is that when you have something that is aser b'ana, that isuri hana only devolves upon what? The cheftza itself. Once you sell the cheftza, you see, sometimes we think that if you sell an object for money, you get money, that money replaces the object. Now, in certain circumstances, it does. The Gemara is just saying, over here, I'm just going to show you a case, it's asr b'ana, but once the item is no longer in existence, the money is totally permitted. So if I take klei hakerem arla, which is asr b'ana, I sell it. I get $500 for my arla. So we'll say, for my klei hakerem. So then what happens? I could go out and be mekadesh woman with that money, which tells me what? That money is not asr b'ana. That money is not asr b'ana. So we'll say, so the Gemara is suggesting, if the money from the proceeds of the sale of the object which was asr b'ana is mutter, then what? Then what? All the more so the wages are going to be asr. So we'll say, wages are even an additional step removed. So if you're going to tell me that the actual proceeds from the sale of the object that is asr b'ana, those proceeds are mutter b'ana, then all the more so wages, which I will say wages on the stand are not even directly related to the object itself, should certainly be mutter b'ana. So I will say, so therefore again, we're still trying to figure out, so why is it that if I go ahead and I'm hired to do work with Yayin Esech, why is it ultimately again that those wages will be usher? Hello, ho'il v'tofes es damav ke'avodos kochavim. Oh. So there's another reason I will say, that ultimately again, maybe what we're seeing over here is that Yayin Esech essentially is treated like Avodah Zarah itself. Literally translated, since its identity devolves upon the money, like Avodah Zarah. Look at Rashi just a moment. Since the wine was pledged, or I should say it was nisnasech, literally means it was poured. For our purposes, it was agitated for Avodah Zarah. Harihi, so we'll say this is fascinating. What the Gemara now is suggesting is that maybe Yayin Esech doesn't just simply have the din of takroves, doesn't have the din of something offered to Avodah Zarah, but rather what? Maybe it actually takes on the status of Avodah Zarah itself. And when it comes to Avodah Zarah, didameha asurin kida amron kol sha'ata v'haya emenu harehu kamohu. So we'll say, now the Gemara is making a different suggestion. Maybe Yayin Esech is mamash like Avodah Zarah. We'll say, what's the halacha if you go ahead and you take an Avodah Zarah, you take a pestle, and you sell it? What's the status of those monies? So those monies are asr. That is unique by Avodah Zarah, right? By Avodah Zarah. Moshe David, I think your Gemara is over here. Looking over here? I think I'm good. So ultimately, again, so if you go ahead and you sell Avodah Zarah, so the halacha is that those monies become usher as well. So the Gemara is making a dramatic suggestion that maybe Yayin Esech is treated like Avodah Zarah. If it's treated like Avodah Zarah, we'll say that not only is the object itself usher, but any monies related to that object are usher as well. Whether those are monies from the proceeds of the sale, and now we're making a little bit of a stretch, related monies are now defined as what? Proceeds from working with that object is usher. We'll say we just need a little bit of a jump. See, what we know by Avodah Zarah, we'll say, is as follows. The object is usher. If you sell the object for money, the proceeds of that sale are usher. The Gemara is going to suggest, therefore, Yayin Esech is like Avodah Zarah. Therefore, the Yayin Esech is usher. If you sell Yayin Esech, the proceeds are usher. And now we're adding in one more step, which is that any monies earned from working with the usher object will be usher as well. That's why the Mishnah says that the wages are usher as well. The Gemara says, but here's the problem with that. Vahari shvius. But here's the issue. Take a look at Shemitah produce. Vahari shvius. The tovsim es domel. So we'll say when it comes to Shemitah, even if you go ahead and you sell Shemitah produce, as we'll discuss, so the proceeds from that sale have kiddushas shvius. The proceeds of that sale are treated with Shemitah sanctity as well. utnan, yet we learn. So we'll say, now remember, if the Gemara is correct, that should mean that any time where the proceeds of a sale retain the identity of the object which was sold, then what? Then the halacha should be that so too, if you go ahead and you work with that object, so the proceeds or those wages from working with that object should have the same status as the object is. Remember, I will say that's the construct we're building here. Yayin esek is like avodah zara. Just like avodah zara, if you sell the avodah zara, the proceeds are aser. So too, the Mishnah is telling me that the wages associated with working with the yayin esek will be aser as well. So that should tell me any time that the proceeds of a particular object retain the identity of the original object, then wages earned by working with that very object should be aser as well. So I was going to say, it's not true. Look at Shemitah. Shemitah produce, I will say, if you sell the produce, the topes and estamah, when you sell Shemitah produce, so ultimately again, the proceeds of that sale retain the sanctity of the original Shemitah produce, utinah, and yet we learned, ha'omer lepoel, listen to this, ha'elech dinar zeh, lakot li boyer kayom. Schara also. Let's listen to this case. If I go ahead and I tell a worker, do me a favor. Helich diner zeh, lokot li bi bo yerek. Go ahead and take this diner to go ahead and pick these vegetables. So we'll say, so this is a very specific lashon. It's helich diner zeh, take this particular diner, lokot li bo yerek. To go ahead and pick these vegetables. Look at Rashi just a moment. Lokot li bo, loshon mecherhu, demashma lokot bi shava yerek. So we'll say this type of lashon is more like a lashon, Rashi says, of a sale. Because what I'm saying is, go ahead and take this diner and essentially pick for me its value in vegetables. So we'll say this is talking about by Shemitah year. So what's the halacha? The halacha is scharo aser. The wages are aser. Why the wages are aser, Bosai? Because it sounds like what I'm doing over here is commerce with Shemitah produce. On the other hand, lokot li yerek hayom, but if I just say to someone, go and say to the worker, pick for me some vegetables today. So then what's the halacha? Scharo mutter. Then ultimately, again, so if I don't say diner zeh, if I don't see diner zeh, or lokot li bo yerek, so we'll say, if I'm just making a general statement of, go and pick some vegetables for me, and it turns out that afterwards I pay him, that's going to be mutter. Look at Rashi. Lokot li yerek, lashon skirusi velo lashon mecher, ve'ein lo damim shiit v'su b'kiddush hashiyah. So we'll say, the idea over here is as follows. If there's a clear connection between the money being paid and the vegetables being picked, that's an issue ultimately of doing commerce with Shemitah produce. If you're not allowed to do commerce with Shemitah produce, and if you do so, the Shemitah sanctity devolves upon the monies. If, however, you just say, Stam, go pick for me some vegetables, with an understanding that, of course, I'm going to give him some money later on, that's not considered to be doing commerce with Shemitah produce, and therefore the proceeds are mutter. So, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So we'll say, so the point of what is the Gemara making? So here you have a situation where I'm actively working and getting paid for dealing with something that is usr. Right? We'll call it Shemitah. When I say usr, it's usr b'commerce. Right? It's not, of course, you're allowed to eat it, but you're not allowed to do business with it. And yet, what do we see? That the prohibited status of the item, or the kiddush of the item in this case, doesn't necessarily devolve upon the wages associated with that item. So to over here, then that can't be the explanation of the Mishnah, because at the end of the day, again, we see that even when something, quote-unquote, is usr, that isr doesn't necessarily transfer down to the wages. Therefore, I'm Rabbi Avraham, Rabbi Yochanan. So we'll say, here we go. Knasu shekansu chachamim bechamarin ubiyayin esech. In reality, Rabbosai, this is a knas. The Mishnah represents a penalty that the rabbis levied upon Rabbosai chamarin, our donkey drivers, and yayin nesech. So what does that mean? So the Gemara says, yayin nesech chada amra. So we'll say, now the Gemara says, you're right, this is a knas. This is a knas. This is a penalty. See, Rabbi Osei, we're trying to explain this as a halachic construct. Here's the problem. When you explain something as a halachic construct, generally, it'll apply in multiple situations. If I should say it differently, if you're creating a halachic principle, so then again, the assumption is that will apply under other circumstances as well. Here's the issue. What we're seeing over here in the Mishnah by Yayin Esech does not appear to apply in other circumstances. So therefore, again, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan says, you're right, it's a knas, It's a penalty. Knasu that the rabbis levied upon the chamar yayin esek. So Gemara says yayin esek had the amr. So okay. So we'll say now here's what I got. So what's the knasu? We'll say the knas is that if an akum hires you to work with his yayin esek, and it's clear that the scope of employment, we'll say it's a very limited job description. What's the job description? Work with the Ayin Esach, right? What do you do in the morning? Work with the Ayin Esach. What do you do in the afternoon? Work with the Ayin Esach. What do you do on Tuesdays? Work with the Ayin Esach. And that's the whole thing. To work with the Ayin Esach, we'll say there is a knas. We don't want Jews working with Ayin Esach. And if you do so, what's the halacha? Your wages are prohibited. That's it. It's a knas. So the Gemara says, but interestingly, we'll say the way the Mishnah phrases in this price is, there's two parts to this knas. There's a knas on the donkey drivers, and there's a knas on Yayin Esach. So the knas on Yayin Esach, that's the knas on the wages. Chamar and Mahi, we'll say first wide line, Samech Vezim and Aleph. What's the knas on the donkey drivers? Tisanya, ha chamar and shayu osin malacha bepero shvius. So we'll say, listen to this. So the truth is, the Gemara says, suggests it might actually be a different knas, not by Yayin Esach. Hachamaren shahayu osin melacha beperos shvius. We'll say, if you had donkey drivers who were doing melacha, who were working with peros shvius, with shmita produce, scharan shvius. So we'll say, we're assuming over here talking about donkey drivers who are doing commerce with shmita produce, their wages have shmita sanctity. Their wages have Shemitah sanctity. So the Gemara says, "My scharon shvius." What does that mean? That their wages have Shemitah sanctity. Ilema, if you want to say, "Diavina lehu schar mipero shvius." If you want to say that, that means that what? That you can go ahead and pay them from pero shvius. That you can't do. Nimtza ze poreachov mipero shvius. People say you are not allowed to pay wages or pay debts from Shemitah produce. Why not? So I just want to point something out over here. Remember, who does Shemitah produce belong to? Who does it belong to?
Everyone.
So we'll say, so I want to be clear. What does this mean? I go out, so now, let's say I have a field. My field becomes Hefker. Or better yet, I go to your field. Your field is Hefker. I take in fruit. So now again, that fruit is mine. So I might have thought that since it's mine, then what? I could eat it, or I could sell it, or I could pay my workers with it. I could pay my worker. Who doesn't like to get paid in fruit? Right? So I can go ahead and pay off my workers, ultimately again, with the fruit as well. So I might have thought, so the Gemara says, that, but you can't do that. Why? How do we know that? So I'm sorry. So, that's called paying off your debts to pay your shvius. V'atora amra, li'achla v'lo l'schora. So say you can't do that. Why? Because the license that the Torah gives with Shemitah produce is the achla, to eat it, not to go ahead and sell it. So the Gemara says, ve'ela, the kadosh scharan b'kedusha shvius. Rather, what we're saying is as follows. That's what, if donkey drivers go ahead and end up doing work with Shemitah produce, then what Rabbi saying? There's a penalty. What's the penalty? That their wages have Shemitah sanctity. Is that true? Umikadosh v'atanya. But we just learned before. Ha'omer lepoel heilich dinar zeh v'lakot liyerek hayom scharo mutter. Lakot liyerek bo hayom scharo aser. We saw that, okay, everything depends on how you arrange your employment agreement, Rabbi Osei. If it's arranged that a mamish looks like a sale, then einachinami, as the price we just quoted before, then einachinami, the worker, the wages will be aser. But if you go ahead and you arrange it much more as a matana, then ultimately, it's what Rabbi Osei, the point that Gemara is making over here is, we see that there are cases where you could be doing actual work with Shemitah produce, and yet what? Your wages could still be permitted. Rather, so what does the Gemara mean? Amrabaye, the olam, yehavinon le'schar mipero shvius. So I'll say, no, what's the case? The Bryce is telling me that there is the possibility to pay my donkey driver from Pero Shvius. But how can you do that? But 1 second, how can you pay anyone from Shemitah produce? The Torah explicitly says, Shemitah produce of both sides, there for what? For you to eat, but not there for you to do business with. To which the Gemara says, well, say, this is amazing. The Yaveh Nehile Bitsad Heter. They will say, well, how do you convey it? You convey it in a permissible way. They will say, what's the permissible way? Rashi says, Bitsad heter matnas chinam. So we'll say, as we're going to say, Sylvia, there's an incredible mechanism. But I will say, you could essentially pay someone, but not Petorah's payment. You pay them rather how? As a matnas chinam, as a gift. And if you structure the payment as a gift, then halacha lemaisa will see the payment is excluded from certain prohibitions. So we'll say, so what the Gemara is suggesting over here is as follows. I can't go ahead and use Shemitah produce to go ahead and pay, to go ahead and pay my donkey driver for his services. Because that's called, because again, remember, when it comes to Shemitah produce, it's la'achla v'lo l'schora. It's ultimately, again, for consumption, but not for business purposes. But, and we're gonna define this in just a moment, apparently what I can do is potentially give it to him as a matnas chinam. If I structure the payment as a gift and not as wages, then halokha l'maisa will be permitted. So the Gemara says, kid, it's not, I'm gonna give you an example of this. I both say, this is not the word Shemitah. Rashi points out, this is my sersheni. This is my sersheni. What's the case of my sersheni? What's the case of Maizu Sheni? Kiddes Nan. Lo yomar adam lechavero. I will say, person can't say to his friend, I'm a base. Person can't say to his friend, Hello li peros halolo li rushalayim lechalik. I will say, remember again, what's Maizu Sheni? So Maizu Sheni is one of the tithes the farmer separates from his produce. Maizu Sheni belongs to the owner. The only caveat is that it has to be consumed in Yerushalayim. So we'll say, watch this. So I don't really wanna take my Maaser Sheni to Yerushalayim. Don't get me wrong, it's a great schos. I'm just not big into schlepping. So what happens? So we'll say, remember again, so under certain circumstances, you can go ahead and redeem your Maaser Sheni and just transport the coins. What's the problem with that? The problem that I will say is if you redeem Maaser Sheni, onto money, there's a Maaser Sheni surcharge. So I will say, I have a problem. I'm lazy and cheap. So I will say, because I'm lazy and cheap, so on one hand, I don't want to schlep, but on my side, I also don't want to pay the surcharge to go ahead and redeem the Maaser Sheni onto money. So I have a great idea. So I say to my friend, Ha'alu li peros halalu li Yerushalayim. Do me a favor. Take these peros. Take my Maaser Sheni peros up in Yerushalayim. Lechalik. And guess what? We'll split it. I'm willing to split my Maaser Sheni. Remember, I can gift my Maaser Sheni is mine. So I can gift it to whoever I want. Just the only caveat is, once it's my Maaser Sheni, it has to be consumed even by the gift recipient in Yerushalayim. So I say to my chaver, listen, you bring up the Maaser Sheni up and I'll split it with you. Rashi says, lechalik, shetitol sham chilik bahem, the aser lifroach. So we'll say, watch this. So what's the halacha? So the Mishnah says, I'm sorry. The Mishnah says, Lo yomar adam lechavero, hello li peros halo yushan lechalik. A person cannot say to his friend, bring up these peros to Yerushalayim for me and we will split it. Why not? Rashi says, Shetito sham chelik ben da aser lefroach hovo mi maeser sheni. The af agav shege emze ochlo yushan. So we'll say, because what's happening over here? What's easy happening over here is as follows. That essentially, I owe this guy, we'll call him Reuven, I owe Reuven money for his services. What's his service? He transported my Maaser Sheni from my home to Yerushalayim. So we'll say, so again, I owe him $50. So what am I doing? Instead of paying him $50, we'll say, what am I doing? I'm paying him a Maaser Sheni. So essentially, I am going ahead and paying off my debt with Maaser Sheni. I am not allowed to do that. However, what can I do? Aval, Omer lo, ha'alein lo ochlom, ulish lo sam, b'Yerushalayim, b'nosnin ze lo ze, Matana Shelkidom. Rabbi will say, What can I do? I can go ahead, and I can tell him, listen, go and take this up to Yerushalayim, and when you get there, you can go ahead and you can take some for yourself. I can tell him, go and take some for yourself. So I'll say, so what's the difference between the two cases? The difference between the two cases is, in number one, I actively stipulated a wage agreement, right? Go ahead, transport it up, and you can take half. In number two, I say, you know what? Do me a, I don't say anything. I say, take them up to Yerushalayim, and I say, take this up and you can eat it and drink it. So we'll say, again, it's all just a matter of how you structure the arrangement. Is the arrangement structured as a wage, or is it structured as a matnas chinam? Is it structured as a gift? If it's structured as a gift, it's going to be mutter. If it's structured as a wage, it's going to be usser. So the Gemara says, is as follows. The Gemara says over here, so what does it mean when you could go ahead and pay your chamorin, you could pay the donkey drivers ultimately in payroll shvius, it means that you could technically pay them, but not as a wage. You could pay them as long as what? As long as it is structured as a matnas chinam. So as long as it is structured as a gift. Rabbi, by the way, we see this in many areas of halacha. You know where this comes up most often? So first of all, this comes up, if you remember, again, back to our Ezu Neshech days, right? Sometimes, now again, this is much more complicated than the way I'm going to make it right now. You're not allowed to pay ribs. You're not allowed to go ahead and pay interest. You are permitted, however, to give a gift. Now, again, how you structure a gift in order that it not appear like ribbis at all is a more complicated situation. But we see this concept that even though something is permitted in a quote-unquote transactional fashion, it may be permitted b'taras matana. So I am not allowed to pay my workers, my chamar, and my donkey drivers in peros shvius. For one thing, even though peros shvius are mine, Rebbe will say, they're mine, they belong to me, I take it, they're hefker, I took ownership over it, but again, it's only mine la'achla, to eat it, and the Chazal Dashim below the Schora. But I can give him a matnas chinam. I can't pay someone in Maaser Sheni. But I can tell someone, why don't you take this, you know what, take this up to Yerushalayim and enjoy it. And enjoy it. So we'll say, again, even though I'm effectively paying him for his services, Lemaisa, what I'm doing over here is I'm structuring it as a matnas chinam, and therefore it is going to be mutter. So the Gemara says, Rava Amar, Rava says, the olam dikhadosh bikidusha shviyas. Rava says, no. In fact, the reality is, going back to what we said before, the reason you can't go ahead and pay the chamar, the reason you can't pay the donkey driver in Shemitah produce is because that Shemitah produce actually absorbs Kiddusha Shviyas. So the Gemara says, V'tekakashi lecha poel. I will say, here's the problem. So the Gemara wanted to suggest, one of the approaches we had, is that the reason you can't go ahead and pay your donkey driver in Shemitah produce is why? Because the Shemitah produce takes on the sanctity, the wages take on the sanctity of actual Shemitah produce. So the Gemara says, aye, but we brought before the case of the poel, right? You're both saying, again, remember, what was the case of the poel? That was the case where I tell the guy to go and pick a vegetable for me. So depending on how I phrase it, as long as I phrase it in the right way, right, that it's not, that doesn't look like a schirus, then ultimately, again, it's going to be permitted. So the Gemara says, I see, you see from there that the sanctity of the Shemitah produce does not transfer over to the wages, to which the Gemara says, here's the difference. Poel, delo nafish igrei, lo kansur rabbanon. We'll say a poel doesn't get paid all that much money. So because the poel doesn't get paid that much money, Chazal didn't feel a need to penalize his wages. Chamorin de nafish agrayu, kansu behu rabbanon. So we'll say, again, by the other hand, the donkey drivers, ultimately, who do get paid more money, Chazal felt the need to penalize their wages and to impose Kiddusha Shviyas even on their wages. And I will say the conclusion of the sugya, Umasnisin Chumra Diyayin Nesechi. Oh, Chumra Diyayin Nesech Shain, excuse me. And I will say, our Mishnah, you know what this all comes down to? You see, here's what's amazing. We spent all of this time trying to figure out the halachic construct for why it is that the wages of a Jew who helps an Akum with Yayin Esech, not in the production of Yayin Esech, that chapter is closed, but now just with the dealings of Yayin Esech, the pouring of Yayin Esech, the transport of Yayin Esech, why is it that his wages are usur? So we spent the whole Amud Aleph trying to figure out the halachic construct for why it is that the identity essentially of the Yayin Esech passes down to the wages. And we bring in Shemitah and Maaser Sheni and all these different things, to which the Gemara finally says, do you know why it's like that? It's a Chumrah. It's a chumrah by Yayin Nesech. Rabbi say, look at Rashi, Umas Nisin, second half of the time, Umas Nisin, the Yayin Nesech, the Kones Nami Poel, the Lo Nafish Agre, chumrah, the Yayin Nesech Shaini. Rabbi say, bottom line, is halacha lemaisa, the Gemara tells me that this is a chumrah of Yayin Nesech. So one of the additional, Rabbi say, now you understand that the novelty in so much of this is that we're dealing with multiple levels of rabbinic law. Normally, again, Chazal don't pile their laws on top of their laws, but yet again, we see because of the chumrah of Yayin Nesech, there are multiple layers of rabbinic law. So now again, we see that the wages of one who exclusively deals with Yayin Nesech are going to be usher like the Yayin Nesech itself. So I will do one more sugya, then I'll tell you And then I'll tell you some interesting halacha lemaisa. Ibailu. So we'll say, now we've established is that if a Jew is hired by an akum to go ahead and exclusively deal with yayin nesach, that is his job, to pour the yayin nesach, to move the yayin nesach, so his wages are aser bano, just like the yayin, bless you, just like the yayin nesach itself. Now the Gemara will ask an interesting follow-up question. Ibailu. Sochro l'stam yeinon mahu. Ooh, we'll say, watch this. Watch this. Let's say now, an akum hires me, not for yayin esach. He's not sofrum. He's a little bit off the derech. So we'll say, so again, he doesn't have libational wine. Instead, what does he have? Regular wine. Regular wine. Rabbi said, but we've already established that what? Stam, what we call stam yeinon. Which means the wine of an akum, just the stam wine of an akum, is asr as well. So what happens if I get hired, right? I have exclusive employment, or the exclusive nature of my employment is to work with the stam yayin of the nachri mahu. So I'll say, what is the status of my wages? On one hand, mi aminon kevan di sura chomer kidi yayin esach. I'm sorry, kevan di sura. So I'm sorry, I just lost the place here. Mau mi aminon kevan di isura chamar kidi yayin asach scharo nami aser. So we'll say, on one hand, we could say that since stam yenom is treated like yayin asach, the truth is in halacha they kind of are treated the same, and we're machmir on stam yenom, on just the regular wine of an akum, just like yayin asach. Therefore scharo nami aser. So we'll say, the Gemara says, the reflexive answer would be, the truth is they're the same. We've already seen before that although our whole discussion started with the Yayin Nesach, it very quickly, ultimately, led into Stam Yeinam. And the truth is, in Halacha, we don't really make so much of a distinction between them. If that's the case, then what? That the same way, then the wages from working with Yayin Nesach are Asr, so the wages working with Stam Yeinam should be Asr as well. That's one possibility. O Dilma, we'll say, now this is amazing. O Dilma, Hoil Vitumaso Kil, Afscharo namikil. We'll say, listen to this. On the other hand, maybe we should say that since the tumah of yayin nesach is different than the tumah of stam yeinam, so there is a difference between them alt tumah. Maybe then the laws of wages are different also, and the wages will be aser by yayin nesach, but will not by aser be aser by stam yeinam. We'll say, you'll see to yourself, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. Well, first you're thinking, are there more ragalach, right? But after that, right? Have any ragalach left? Should I get up or not? Right, but I will say, but after that, what you're thinking is, well, what does tuma have to do with wages? So the answer is absolutely nothing. All the Gemara is just suggesting is that maybe it's difference in chumrah of the entity. So we'll say, so yayin nesach, Rabbi will say, has, as we're going to see in just a moment, a greater level of tuma than stam yeinom. So maybe since it has a greater level of tuma, that's why the wages will be aser as well. But stam yeinom, which ultimately again has a lower form of tumah, as we'll see in just a moment, then maybe the wages aren't aser. Look at Rashi just a moment. The tumah san kil, it's the last of the wide lines. The tumah san kil. Kida aminon bein ma'amidin shalosh yeinosin. But say there are three different types of wine. So yayin nesach aser ba'ano umetame tumah chamura bekizayis. So we'll say, listen to this. Essentially, Yayin Nesach, I will say, is treated like mace. Yayin Nesach is treated like a corpse. The same way that a corpse conveys tumah, in all the ways in which a corpse conveys tumah, Yayin Nesach conveys tumah as well. So we'll say, if you're under the same roof with Yayin Nesach, you're Tami Tumas Mace. So Rashi says, Tami Tumah Chamura B'Kezayis. We'll say, the same way that a mace is Metame if there's a Kezayis of flesh, so ultimately, again, the Yayin Nesach is Metame also B'Kezayis. On the other hand, Stam yeinam aser ba'ana umetame tumas mashkin b'rabiyas. We'll say stam yeinam, on the other hand, is just like any other liquid. So we'll say, what does that mean? Are liquids metame? So the answer is, they're metame if they have become tame. So for example, a liquid can become tame, and then that liquid has the ability to convey tumah in different ways. So stam yeinam, we'll say, is the same way. Stam yeinam is not independently tame. Stam yeinam is just receptive to tumah, like any other liquor. So we'll say it's a dramatic distinction. So even though up until now there's been virtually no distinction between Yayin Nesach and Stam Yeinam, we've treated them in Halacha virtually the same way. When it comes to Tumah, they are dramatically different. Ultimately, again, Siyai Nesech, Rabbi Osai, is Metame like a mace, Mamish Metame like a mace, versus Stam Yenom, which is Metame, or is receptive to Tumah, like any other liquid. So maybe that results in a difference between how their wages are accounted for as well. Maybe that's why the wages of the Yai Nesech will be Aser, but the wages of Stam Yenom will be Mutter. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's analyze this. Tahu Garabos, listen to this case. Tahu Gavra is really fascinating. Tahu Gavra, Rabbos, by the way, I'll tell you why this is also very important. Because what's fascinating about this is, you know, sometimes people have things that are for rent. It raises an interesting halachic shaila about how much do you have to ask what the object that you're renting out is going to be used for. In other words, what we're going to see in just a moment. Oh, let's just get to it. Tashma, Tahu Gavra, the Agar Arve, the Stam Yener. Well, so listen to this. There was a guy rented out his boat to an Akum. What was the Akum using the boat for? Stam Yenam. He was transporting his wine. He rented a Jewish boat to transport his wine. What happened? Yovu lechiti ba'agra. The Akum paid the Jew in wheat. He paid the Jew in wheat. This was the arrangement. He paid him in wheat. So what happens? The Jew comes. Aslakim Rav Chista. He comes before Rav Chista. Says, Rabbi, what's the status? So after the fact, the Jew realized that this might be problematic. See, Bepashas, he couldn't have realized it was going to be problematic in the beginning, or we would have never done it. But yet he rented out his boat, he got paid in wheat, he brings the wheat to his Rebbe, to Rav Chisda. Rebbe, what's the status of the wheat? Amar Lei, zil kalinu v'kabrinu. So go ahead and burn it and bury it. So take the wheat, burn it and bury it. In other words, you can't use it, right? Burn it and bury it. Rashi says. So Rashi says, "Arvinus lived." I'm sorry. So fine. So actually, Rashi says, "Bekivri beisakvaras." So there's an interesting addition over here in Rashi's girsa. He says, "Burn it and bury it in the cemetery." Okay. Vele malei badrinu. I don't understand. Okay. So essentially, what you're telling me is what? That the wheat is aserbano. I can't get benefits from the wheat. The Jew can't get benefits from the wheat. So why don't you just say badrinu? I don't understand. Just scatter it. Why does it have to be burned and buried? Just scatter it. So the Gemara says, here's the problem. Asu bahu lidei takolo. Because we'll say, if you just scatter it, then what's going to happen? The wheat is still intact. Somebody's going to find it. Apparently, it's not just asr bano for the owner of the boat, but it's asr bano stam. You're not allowed to get benefit from it. Asu lidei takolo. Ah, it's okay. Velik linu velibidrinu. So then, fine. Why do you have to bury it? So then burn it, scatter it, and that's it. Why do you have to bury it? Dilma mizabli buhu. Oh, Rabosa, you've seen this before? Fertilizer. Out of concern that Rabosa, even if you burn it and you scatter it, there's going to be an issue ultimately again of getting benefit through the fertilizer. So, the better idea. Just bury it. Skip the burning. Just bury it. Milo tnan. Rabosa, now this is actually quite fascinating. Did we not learn? Echot even sheniskaba. The echot eat shenitla alav. So Rabosa, listen to this. The stone that was used for stoning to kill someone, or the tree upon which one was hanged?
Both are right.
Both are correct. Good. I'm going with David on this one. Right? Whenever it comes to anything English, I'm going with David. Good. So fine. So good. He was right. So the person who was hanged on the tree of Bosa is also uprooted. Right? Ve'echad saif shenaragbo, or the sword. We'll say these are all the different mechanisms, all the different utensils used for Misas Bezdin. So the stone that was used to stone the person. Right? We'll say the tree that was used to hang the person. The sword that was used to go ahead and decapitate the person. Sudar shenechnakbo, or we'll say this is in Chanika, right? This is also in strangulation. The scarf, or the sudar that was used to strangle the person. Kulam nikbarin imo. We'll say all of these items are buried in there. We'll say, now what does this have to do with anything? We'll explain this in just a moment. We'll say for our purposes, the reason why this is important is because what is it saying? Even when something has to be buried, you don't have to what? You don't have to destroy it beforehand and then bury it. But rather, again, when you have to bury something, burial is enough. So the obvious kasha for us is, why do you have to burn the wheat and then bury it? Just bury it. Now, I'll say, look at Rashi just a moment. Rashi says, "Kulonik barnimo tichsiv lo solin nivlasa ala eitz." Because what's the pasuk says, you cannot leave the person, the body hanging. If somebody's hanged, you can't leave the body hanging on the tree. Ki kabar tik berenu. You have to bury it. Now, I'll say, Chazal make an interesting drasha. Afa eats b'mashma. Kikabar tik barenin rabosai goes on both items mentioned in the pasuk. Goes on what? The body and the tree. So we'll say when you bury the body and the tree, we'll say, which is an amazing thing. Why? Because what's the concern? We'll say there's such cover given even to the offender. What's going to happen if you leave the tree intact? Every single time a person passes by, they're going to see, oh, that's the tree that Chaim Yankel was hanged on. So we'll say out of the dignity to the person who was executed, we bury the person as well as the tree upon which he was hanged. So the Gemara says, V'halchei amrina perak nigmara din. Eight shomeani ben talosh ben mechuber tam lomer ki kabar tik morenu mishen mechuser fine. So the Gemara says yatzeh shem mechuser. So say the idea is that we extend this to all of the objects used in the carrying out of misas beizdin. We'll say anything used in the carrying out of misas beizdin is buried along together with the person who was executed. But I will say again for our purposes, what do we see? Look at the end of that. Rashi Alma Eitz Kufei Asir Hano. So Rabbi says. So we see here, by the way, the fact that it has to be buried with the person who was executed. So Rabbi tells us what? That those items are Asir Bano. That tree is Asir Bano. That sword is Asir Bano. That stone is Asir Bano. That scarf is Asir Bano. So therefore, you have to bury it along with the mace. But what? Velo Chayshinu Letakala. So Rabbi says, all we need you to do is bury it. We don't tell you to destroy it first and then bury it. All we need you to do is what? Just bury it. So the Gemara says, so why in the case of the wheat? So okay, I made a mistake by renting out my boat to the Akum, so he paid me in wheat. The wheat is going to be Asr Ba'na, fine. So just what? Just go ahead and bury the wheat. Why do you have to burn it first? Hasam deka kavri bebeidina muchacha milsa daruge beiz dininu. So I'll say, here's the difference. When somebody was executed by Beis Din, we learned this in the Sanhedrin, there was a special cemetery, a special Beis Hakvaris, for those who were executed by Beis Din. That's where the person was buried, and that's where the instrument of his execution was buried as well. So people know that if it's in a cemetery of Beis Din, that these objects will be Aser Bano, Aran Choshesh, that somebody's going to dig it up and use it. The Gemara says, however, again, Hacha, Lav muchacha milsa. I was saying, if somebody finds buried wheat, so therefore what? What are they going to assume? Emer inish ganav. So we'll say, if you find buried wheat, what's the first thing that's going through your mind? Right? So the first thing that's going through your mind, so there's a lot of things that are going through your mind, right? My first question is, why aren't you at work? Right? Why aren't you at work? Right? So I'll say, but besides that, so if a person finds buried wheat, what are they thinking to themselves? They say to themselves, inish ganav. Person must have stolen the wheat. Anyway, and he buried it here. So therefore, I hear Zabba say, so one second. So how does that permit me, the finder, to use it? Because Zabba said, the assumption is that what? The assumption is that there was Yeyush. Right? We could assume there was Yeyush Bailim. Because remember, again, wheat is something that has no distinct simen. The owners must have despaired of ever finding it again. The Ganav went ahead and buried it. So now I find wheat, I could use it. So that's the concern. Therefore, if Chista says, you have to burn it and bury it. You have to burn it and bury it. It's not enough because if you bury it, we are concerned that someone will find it and ultimately again use it. The Bei Rabbi Yanai, so I will say in the house of Rabbi Yanai, they said as follows. They said, Yasvi Peri Shvius. So I will say, so first of all, so just so you know, let's finish this. The Bei Rabbi Yanai, Yasvi Peri Shvius Me'aniyim, or Parlo B'shinus. We'll say, actually in the house of Rabbi Yanai, they did have a very interesting practice. They would borrow fruits from Aniyim in the Shemitah year. They would bury fruits, borrow fruits in the seventh year, upari le bishminis, and they would repay them in the eighth year. Now obviously, eighth year produce is much more valuable than seventh year produce, because eighth year produce is absolutely no restrictions about how to use it. Look at Rashi, upari le bishminis, ashtachach da'achli aniyim bishminis, achar abir, chalifi peiro shvius. So I'll say, ultimately again, they got in return eighth year produce. So the aniyim lent Rabbi Yanai's family, Rabbi Yanai's yeshiva, with seventh year produce, and they got paid back in eighth year produce. Amrli Rabbi Yochanan, Amrluhu. So they told this over to Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan said, "Yosin Avdin, that is actually a great idea. That's a beautiful idea." And I will say, now one second, I know your antenna is going up. You're thinking to yourself, what? One second, isn't this doing commerce with Shemitah produce? Look at Rashi, Yosin Avdin, Kevan da Hishaita. Lo hava hanach be'en, v'lo ich lefi hani bahani, lav chalifin ninu, So remember, what did we just discuss? We just finished saying before what? That if you do commerce with Shemitah produce, then what are both saying? So ultimately, again, Shemitah sanctity devolves upon the commerce produce as well. This is different, says the Gemara. Why? Because at the time when the repayment of the produce is taking place, the Shemitah produce no longer exists. Because the Shemitah produce no longer exists, therefore, what are both saying? Therefore, it's not considered to be like a real chalipin, like a real swap, one produce for the other, and therefore the Shemitah sanctity will not devolve upon the eighth year produce as well. So what the Gemara now is developing is the following yesod, which is the concept that where there, the only time sometimes that a status devolves upon a particular item is where the swap is simultaneous. If the later item is given after the first item is no longer in existence, so the two items are considered to be halachically disassociated. So in this case over here, where halacha lemaisa, they're paying back the eighth year produce once the seventh year produce is already gone. So the eighth year produce is not considered to be a repayment for the seventh year produce. Therefore, it does not have Shemitah sanctity. So we'll say, we're going to see this applies to other cases as well. We'll stop over here for today because I just wanted to, we'll stop over in the Gemara. We're going to pick up with this again, but I want to tell you the halacha lemaisa. So we'll say, remember again, the Gemara asked the kasha. So the Gemara's kasha was, so what is the status if a Jew works with stam yenam? Right? What is that halacha, Rabosei? So we've already established that for Yayin Nesech, if a Jew goes ahead and works with Yayin Nesech, Rabosai, so what's going to be the halacha? The halacha is all of the wages are usur. What about Stam Yayinam? What about if a Jew is working ultimately again with the Stam Yayin of an Akum? What is the status of those wages? Rabosai, listen to this. This is the Shulchan Aruch in Yaradeya in Simen Kuf Lamed Gimel. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Kishem Sha'asr Limkar Stam Yayinam B'lei Harosbo, Kach Asr Listakir. Rabosai, I'll take something interesting. The Shulchan Aruch discusses the case of Stam Yenam. He doesn't even bother to discuss the case of Yayin Nesach. Rather, he discusses the case of Stam Yenam. And what does he say? The same way it is not permitted to go ahead and be in the business of selling Stam Yenam, Kach Asr Listakebo, you are not permitted to earn your wages with Stam Yenam as well. Lufichach, Yisrael Sheniskar La'ovid Kochavim Lasos Lomalacha. Therefore, I will say what? If the Yisrael is hired by an akum to go ahead and do malach, in other words, to work in his stam yenam warehouse, afilo b'stam yenam, o shehiskir lo chamoro, o svinos lo lichavo, or I rent the akum, my boat or my donkey, to transport his stam yayin, or martifo laniachbo, or I rent him my wine cellar to store his wine. What's the halacha? Rabbi say, schoro aser bano. Ultimately, on both sides, the wages are also around. So this is actually a dramatic halacha. So again, if I go ahead and I work for the akum, or I rent out my space or my animal for the akum, either for his stam yayin or for his yayin nesach, Rabosai, any wages from that transaction will be usur. Let's say I took the money. I just transacted this on Friday. I learned this daf today. So what's the halacha, Rabosai? The halacha is sochek v'zora l'ruach o motil yam. Rabosai, mamish, one is not permitted to get any hana'ah from this transaction. I have to grind up the money. And again, remember, I can't even grind up the money and scatter it into the wind. Why? Why? Fertilizer issues. So we'll say, instead I take the money, throw it down. So we'll say, mamish again. We'll say, you should just know, we're going to delve into this more. But this opens up dramatic discussions about renting out things to an akum. This also opens up dramatic discussions with Jews owning liquor stores, right? Which I will say, ultimately, again, sell non-kosher wine. So again, we'll discuss all of this, but we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up with the sugya, ultimately, again, of the swap transaction. I will say, a mazel tov to the Wilners and to the Nachmans. This is Mamish, a daf yomi shidduch. Simen tov, a mazel tov, simen tov, a mazel tov.